ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్ ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, it is the month of June. The academic calendar has begun. All the students are back. There are freshers. There are seniors. Mandir is full now. Everyone is waiting for the Guru Purnima celebrations, which is not many weeks away. With that, we'll start the beautiful celebrations that Prashanthi Nilayam is all the time reverberating with. Even this weekend you have devotees from Kanchipuram district who are assembling, and they are going to offer 2 days of programs at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. But this month of June is the month when all the students are back, and that brings freshness, that brings so much of dynamism, that enlivens the whole atmosphere in Mandir. In fact, last few weeks we have been discussing about the education movement. We've been discussing about the 50 years of the Vrindavan campus. We have been sharing with you stories of how Bhagwan set up his first college for men in Vrindavan way back in 1969. And this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, has been all about how Bhagwan has so beautifully, so subtly and so sweetly crafted such a beautiful system of integral education where there is blossoming of heart, head and hand of every individual who comes into the portals of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning or the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in Prashanthi Nilayam or the schools which bear his name wherever they are. In fact, we shared a lovely video about the making of Trey Vrindavan on our YouTube channel, on our website, as part of our series Prashanthi Chronicles. If you have missed watching that video, you should, because it's a very, very lovely tale of how Bhagwan created this beautiful edifice called Trey Vrindavan, which is the heart of this ashram of Bhagwan in Bengaluru. In that, I shared with you reflections and stories that Mr. Vimalanathan had recalled for us. He was very fortunate to be there during the construction of Trey Vrindavan. Earlier I have shared with you 2 parts of conversations with him, and there is still so much that Mr. Vimalanathan has to share. And he has been in the service of Bhagwan in the ashram for more than 30-35 years. Swami has entrusted him with many responsibilities over the years, and it's really our privilege, and we are so grateful to Bhagwan that he's still in the ashram and so intellectually active, even though he's 75 now. Still, he's someone who is all the time pulsating with a sense of humor. He's someone all the time so calm and so focused on Bhagwan. We had the chance to resume our conversation with him after those 2 hours that we had done before, in which I shared with you the story of how the old bungalow of Vrindavan was demolished and how in the same place Bhagwan entrusted Mr. Vimalanathan and Colonel Jogarao and Brigadier Bose, 2 very senior engineers of the ashram, the responsibility of building the Trey Vrindavan. Of the 3, only Mr. Vimalanathan is still here with us. I called him again to the studios because I know that there is so much more in that treasure chest of his heart, that treasure chest of lovely memories, profound lessons and timeless moments with the avatar. So here is the 3rd part of the conversation with Mr. and Mrs. Vimalanathan. As you listen to this, please reflect. Please recollect and reconnect.
Sai Ram, and welcome once again, Mr. and Mrs. Vimalanathan, to the studios of Radio Sai and to this special episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Sai Ram, and pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord Sai. And we are so fortunate to be here and happy to be here.
The last time we met, it was a long conversation of, I think, close to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And as we concluded the conversation, I realized that we have only scratched the surface.
Tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely, tip of the iceberg of what Bhagwan has blessed you with. We just talked about your journey to Swami very briefly, and since the golden jubilee of the Vrindavan campus was around the corner, we talked about the coming of the Trai Vrindavan. Very brief overview you gave of how Bhagwan entrusted you with the responsibility of bringing down the old bungalow and constructing Trai Vrindavan. Now that the golden jubilee is over, I thought it's a good time to sit back and now relax and go back to those days. If you can, for us, recall those moments before Bhagwan gave you that chance to work, because I think so much was happening within you before Swami gave you that chance to serve Him. And once we had the video of the story of Trai Vrindavan on Radio Sai website, on our YouTube channel, so many people were in tears seeing Bhagwan getting a glimpse of how everything that He did was always for others.
He was building us.
Yes. He was all the time building us. And that's what we were reflecting. And I think that was the only thought that was coming again and again as we were sharing the story of Trai Vrindavan. A building is just an outer manifestation of how many people He has built through that little landmark structure. So, if we can today jog back our memories, take us back to those days in the 80s, late 70s and early 80s, and share with us those facets of Bhagwan that you were then discovering, and how the journey has been, and how He gave you the chance to work, and through that opportunity, how He taught you lessons for eternity.
I'll be glad to share that, because leaving the brick and mortar alone, we'll now talk about what Swami does to us. And whatever assignment He gave is just an excuse for us to learn from Swami. Now, there is an incident I would like to share with you, where Swami calls us for an interview. About 3 couples, about 6 or 7 people were there. And one of the couple was very well known to me. I mean, we were friendly. And we had 2 children, they also had 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami took us for an interview, and Swami was talking about so many things. And suddenly Swami looked at us and He said, "Will you admit your children in my Swami's school?"
Mm-hmm. Oh, out of the blue.
Out of the blue. And we didn't even know there is a school coming up.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this is 19...
Mid-80.
Okay. 1980. I think the school came into being 81, 82. That's when the...
That is primary school.
Primary school.
I am prior to that also.
Oh, okay.
This is about the first sessions of the state board English medium school which Swami was starting, which was situated in Ishwarama school.
Correct.
That is before the primary school.
Correct.
Primary school came into being and started functioning after 2 years.
Correct.
So this is during that period.
Oh, wow.
So we were not even aware that there is a school coming up and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say admit. He said, "Will you admit your children into Swami's school?" And both of us later on exchanged notes, and I said, where is the question of will you or not? He says, do that, it'll be done.
Mm.
Now, interview got over, and we had already decided that we'll put our children here.
Mm.
When we walked out, my friend, who was also in the interview, he said, Vimal, what do you plan to do? I said, do you have an option? There's no option. You have to put the children in the... Nahi yaar, my children are in very good school in Calcutta, Loretta Convent.
Mm-hmm.
And this Swami has started just a single class in English medium, state board. And I'm not even sure how it's going to be. So I'll wait, I think, for about a year. Next year I'll try.
Uh-huh.
I said, I mean, it's up to you. But then when Swami gives you an opportunity,
yes,
don't lose it. So I didn't elaborate further. It is each one's decision. So what we did is, we understood that time and tide waits for none.
Yes.
And if you lose the high tide, you are not going to sail at all. We went there immediately to Chennai where our children were studying. They were in third standard, fourth standard, whatever it was. The children were studying in Don Bosco, which is a very well-known school in Chennai. So we told them that this is what we want a TC from. A TC from Don Bosco, why do you want a TC? Translator. Where are you taking? I'm taking them to a place called Puttaparthi. Where is it? It's a village in Puttaparthi. What do you want to do with your children? I want to take them here and put them there. He said, you know, you're making a big mistake. I said, whatever it is, I'm taking them. And with great struggle, we got the children and we put them back here. Now, there ends the schooling portion. But the lesson we understood later is that my friend who was waiting for 1 year, that 1 year never came. Not that somebody didn't want to give him or somebody would not like to have the children. No. It just didn't happen. He missed the high tide.
When Bhagwan is giving you a chance.
And not only that, we did not follow the protocol which exists when your boss, even in your organization, your boss says, can I have a word with you? You have no option but to go to his, run to his cabin and then listen to what he says.
Yes.
You can't say, no, I'm very busy, you can have another word later. You don't have that.
Correct.
And Swami said, will you put your children in my school? It meant,
That's what he wants. Yes.
Do that. I'm giving you an opportunity, don't waste it. That's what happened to...
That is so fantastic because you didn't even have any thoughts of what is the school, where has Swami started, how is it going to function, what is the standard of this school, where are my children going to
stay?
You didn't have any thoughts.
No thought, just act, go get the children and put them here. And they are in safe hands of Swami.
Wow.
And we really didn't know the school is coming
and
up.
And they indeed were in the best institution, isn't it?
Now. And in hindsight, we know that primary school is... You can get in Harvard and Cambridge, but not...
I know, primary school.
Very difficult to do that.
Yes.
And now added to that, Ishwarama school. So these are two colossal institutions with Swami.
And they went on to have very good
14
education.
14 years they studied
14
in Swami's
years.
Institution.
Wow.
14
wow.
years.
Wow.
And they did the schooling, they went primary, secondary, and then the...
And everything was decided by Swami, what next also.
Yeah, what... Mm.
They never took a decision, we never took a decision.
Mm.
They'd be called inside and Swami will say, do this.
What to study next.
Everything Swami did.
And he told my
Once
son...
Once you said yes to him,
yeah,
after that,
yeah,
he took over.
Like you said, no, your availability is more important than your ability.
Yes. I think that obedience, absolute obedience, unquestioning obedience...
But
the
to be very honest with you, we didn't even know we were obeying him. He said, go get the children, get the children and admit them.
You didn't have any doubts?
No doubts.
No doubts. I think that is something which is purely his grace.
No, whatever he said now, he is saying it now. At that time, such thoughts were not there. Swami said, go get them.
That's it. Wow. And because, you know, you are someone who, with that conviction and faith, left your job also.
Mm.
And just came because you were absolutely convinced that this is the best thing that can happen to me. Nothing else in the world compares with this chance to be with Swami.
And as a sequel to that, my friend's son, after 4 or 5 years, he told his father, why didn't you put me that time itself?
Mm.
I'm not able to get the admission now. You should have put me then itself. So he said, Bimal, I should have done that immediately. I said, no, theek hai, what to do?
Yeah. Swami has plans for everyone. What is very important is, when it comes to God, we should not postpone. Correct. I feel if you postpone...
Yeah, procrastination will be...
Yes. is perilous when it comes
very
to
perilous,
God.
Very perilous.
If we postpone God in our lives, our lives get postponed.
Very true.
And I think that is one fantastic thing that you have done in your life, that, you know, when you realize that He is divine, when you realize that the same God whom we have been worshipping for years has come down on earth in human form, you said, stop everything and go to Him. And then you went and did whatever He asked you to do. Fantastic.
And somehow Swami had practiced to drop the bombshell with us every time. He'll suddenly drop a bombshell. The next one is...
No time to think.
Fantastic. I'll narrate another one. But this is in lighter vein. It happened, of course. Not that it didn't happen. Now, again, it is the same thing that he invited us for an interview in Puttaparthi. I wasn't given any assignment, yet whenever Swami is in Puttaparthi, we'll be with him in Puttaparthi. When he goes to Vrindavan, we'll go to Vrindavan. So Swami is now in Puttaparthi. We are with him in Puttaparthi. And he calls us for an interview. And suddenly he drops a bombshell. Mm-hmm. Your house is going to be burgled.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
He says, your house is going to be burgled. And he says, now, you are, both of you go. She says, Swami, I have nothing valuable in
that
house.
And there's nothing there in that house to be burgled. Even if it's burgled, I don't care.
You said?
No, I said. And he said, that huge big wooden box that is there in the house. I says, how does he know?
That how does he know has come already.
There's nothing there, Swami. I will never miss anything in life. Don't send me away.
You didn't want to go. Your house is being burgled. You didn't want to go.
I'll be here. And then what happened? Swami said, she won't come. She's bitchy. You go.
Oh.
So I went. Mm. And I thought Swami is being most merciful. Mm. Because there is a West Indies with India test match cricket is going on. So I thought this is the way Swami has given me permission.
To watch.
To watch. So I went there in Komara Park in Bangalore and phoned up my friend in Whitefield. We are in Whitefield and this is in Majestic. I said, this is what Swami said. The house is going to be burgled. So now I'm caught up here. I won't come every day, 18 kilometers. No bus and all that in those days. So you be very careful. Make sure the house doesn't move even an inch. Okay? And Swami said, it's going to be burgled. If there's anything, give me a ring day or night. Mm-hmm. And in those days, no cell phone, nothing. Yes. Only through telephone and then trunk calls and all. Mm. He said, "Theek hai, uncle, don't worry." Mm. So every morning, dutifully, before going to the match, we went to the cricket ground. So went to the match. I will ask him, "Ganesh, everything theek hai?" "Haan, everything theek hai, uncle. You enjoy it." Mm. So 7 days got over. In those days, 6 days match.
Yes.
Then.
So every day you're going for the match.
Wow. And I was so happy and thankful to Swami for giving me this.
Swami is putting it through a test and you're watching test match there.
Then ho gaya, we went back. Went back to Parthi.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. So I told Prem, no, house is not burgled and all that. We are not doubting Swami's word, but not burgled. That's the only statement.
Yeah.
Ho gaya. Then the Christmas is approaching. The whole place is abuzz with people.
Mm. Almost and 6 months is over. Nothing
and then,
happened.
Suddenly, very close to Christmas, the phone call comes. Uncle, ho gaya.
Ho gaya, done.
I said, kya hua, bhai? I said, they've broken your house and burglary has taken place. And now the police is wondering who is the owner of the house, who is living there, who is the tenant. Ask them to come immediately. So I'm ringing you up. You immediately catch the next bus and come. Now I go and tell her what Swami said has come true. It is burgled. Now we have to go. He said, what will I do there going? It's all gone now. I said,
oh my God.
How would I know what sari you had? How would I know what jewel you had? I have nothing at all. You go. I said, no. This time it's too much. Unless you come, I'm not going. So we both left. And here also in comedy, we would put our trunk and suitcase up on the
Only one suitcase was there. We only put one it on top.
And that one of the other suitcases got caught in a branch and it fell off.
Oh. I said, there goes our last belonging. Also.
The only belonging we had is that suitcase.
That also is gone.
We are laughing. So somebody is saying, don't laugh. Police will think you are stage manager, the whole burglary. You go there. We go there. And in front of a house, like a movie theater, there is a long line of people standing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why in front of our house? So we go there. The policeman is there. He said, are you the tenant? I said, yeah. Now, your house is burgled. Now, tell whether you are missing anything, lost anything. We looked everything. Everything is in place.
We have three huge photographs of Swami.
Uh-huh. Very huge photographs.
Uh-huh. Very huge photographs.
Uh-huh.
And when we checked, first of all, we have no idea what we had, what we didn't have. I said, nothing.
I'll come to that. See, what happened is, we are looking at the bureau. He tried to open it, he couldn't open it. And then somewhere else, some shelf is open and all the items are... Okay, helter skelter, but nothing lost.
Nothing lost.
Nothing lost.
Nothing was lost.
Uh-huh.
And there is a huge photo of Swami sitting.
Three photos were there.
Mm. And then suddenly I said, nay. He said, acha, you lost something. No, I gained something. I said, what nonsense are you talking? What did you gain? There is a gunny sack.
Uh-huh.
With a chisel and hammer.
His things he has left and he has run off.
Then only we put two and two and became Sherlock Holmes. He said, when he entered, Swami must have come out
from that photograph, something like, why would he leave his things and run away?
So he must have...
He removed stuff but he could not take anything, left his equipment and went.
So I said, this is the only burglary where you become richer by.
Oh my God.
The burglary.
Wow.
So,
but a very funny thing, afterwards, so many times we have gone in for interviews, but he never mentioned that. He just warned us, and he just kept quiet, but he never mentioned that.
It looks like Swami wanted to see how attached you are.
Maybe.
You are seeing test match. You didn't think at that point in time, okay, house is going to buckle, let me take valuables and keep it somewhere else. You didn't think anything like that.
I think West Indies is more important than your peanuts here. So,
oh my God.
We took the whole life with Swami as a great blessing. So, kuch worry nahi tha. Swami will take care of it.
Swami will take care of it. That conviction was there so much.
It was very...
Even if he says that, you know...
That is what they say, blissfully ignorant. Absolutely ignorant, but blissful.
Because, you know, he is there. That's it.
He is there. He is a magic wand.
From the beginning, the thought was there. If we lose it, we lost it. That's it.
Mm.
Nothing more to it. We'll never sit and cry about anything. Mm. Till today, we are like that.
If there's anything to lose, it is Swami's attention.
That
is the only thing that you feel, we have lost it. What to do to get it back?
But even that directly, I asked Swami. Mm. I said, Swami, there's no talking and all. It's too much. We can't bear it. Don't do
very
this,
painful.
Swami. Mm. So he said, if I do that, if I start talking, you will just brush it like this. Not talking is my weapon, he told me.
Yeah.
Oh. So decided, don't do it, Swami, please.
And after the event, Swami will never acknowledge it and all that stuff.
Like no, he never talks about it.
He never spoke to us, I said so and you didn't go there. Nothing of that sort.
What you said, the obedience,
yes.
We didn't bother about anything getting lost. It was not like that. Mm. Totally
because
different.
You always felt that there is nothing in the world that you can lose.
Yeah.
Because you had come and you have gained what you wanted to gain. You had Swami.
And somebody said you have sacrificed everything in life to come to Swami.
Rubbish.
I said, hold it. Don't go further. I'll ask you a question and after that I'll answer your question. I said, yeah. Supposing you have 100 rupee note. That is the last money you have. And you invest it in a lottery ticket.
Mm.
And you get 100 crore rupee out of the lottery.
Mm.
Now, will you call this 100 rupee as a sacrifice? You will not. Right? It is just a seed sown for you to get. Same way, once we came to Swami, whatever little tidbits you had, you just forget about it and you come to Swami. What we got in return is invaluable. It's unbelievably precious. Mm.
Earlier you would have kept your money in a bank, in a reserve bank, but now you have got his reservoir of grace, inexhaustible reservoir of grace.
And bottomless treasury.
Absolutely.
So that is what happened.
Wow.
And then Swami gives me an assignment, that famous demolition.
Yes.
First month after the demolition started, Colonel Jogarao, he comes one day to our flat and he says, I say, here Swami sent this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he flung one envelope,
mm-hmm.
which had lots of money.
Uh-huh.
He says, Swami says, this is your first salary kind of a thing. And it was quite substantial.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Swami also asked me to tell you that you are earning a lot of money in your previous company. But Swami is not giving that much, but you keep it. I said, with all pranam, sir, we are very grateful to Swami for giving it, but we are not accepting this money. He said, what? It's less, is it? You want Swami to give that salary you are drawing? I said, no. What we are saying is, we have not come here to serve him for money. So we will not take the money. Then he said, do you know what you're saying? Swami will be very upset. It's a prasad he has given. Mm. You can't deny it. I said, whatever prasad or no prasad, we are not taking that money. And this dialogue goes on for some time and he goes and repeats that to Swami.
Mm.
And Swami now sends back saying that Swami is very angry with you and he might even send you out.
No, personally he told me in the darshan line, I will send you out of the ashram if you don't accept
this money.
I said, okay Swami, but we are not accepting money.
Oh my God.
We respectfully kept quiet. What to tell him when he says, send me or something other than. We said, okay Swami, whatever you decide, but we are not accepting any money from the seva that we wish to offer to you. So he must have been happy inwardly, but he outwardly was very upset and all that. Then from Tribrindavan, from after the thing was over, the demolition was over, we went to Puttaparthi for a short while. There he called us.
Mm.
And he, after the interview, he said, Chesko. So Pad Namaskar we took. Both his hands he placed on each one's.
How it happened means, Kutumrao uncle came home and he told us, see, Swami is talking about your wedding anniversary. Be prepared. Uncle, what are you talking? What are you talking? We are not such great people that he should talk about our wedding anniversary.
And we didn't realize it's our wedding
anniversary. We also forgot. So he said, Amma, I'm telling you, you just listen to me. Take one plate offering for Swami and sit there. I never done such things. So I just took one small plate, you know, put whatever Swami likes. And Swami called us and said, even if you don't tell me about your wedding anniversary, I know it is.
Swami said.
Yeah, he said that. I was taken aback. I said, my God, such a frivolous thing and he's talking about. How sweetly he put his hand on both our heads and he was chanting mantras. I don't even know what mantra he chanted. But it was such a moment, unforgettable. Like even chappal that you wear, if it is small, it'll bite your leg. If it is big, you can't walk properly. So everything should be fitting in life.
So we understand when he chanted the mantra and then blessed him, a sense of contentment came in life.
Mm.
After that, we never aspired for any kind
because we did come from a very affluent life. Mm. We have not walked 100 yards also. Here, it was so easy for us. We just slipped into this mode of life. And until Swami walked into our house, we didn't even have a mattress to lie on. Because my father said, this is an ashram, you cannot have all those luxuries.
You sleep on bare floor?
Yes. He said, at the most, one mat, but nothing else.
Wow.
So when father fell sick, Swami came home. The first day, he didn't come. So I had some juice there and some paan and all that. I drank up the juice, the paan was there. The next day he came and when I parted the curtain, I said, oh, Swami, you came. And he said, where is my juice? I said, I drank it up. Then he took that old paan, I said, and make a new one. Then he said, why this house doesn't have anything? I said, this is an ashram. No, this is not an ashram, it's a global village.
Swami said.
Yes. Mm. These were his words. You can have anything you like, but you should not be attached to it. And he told my father to buy everything.
Oh, wow.
Have anything you want.
See,
don't be attached.
She treated Swami as her
friend.
Mm. I treated him as my master.
Mm.
Now, both of us can't understand each other's sentiment.
Mm.
She took all kinds of liberties with Swami, with all loving love and respect. Will anybody drink away Swami's...
No, because I was very sure, how can Swami come to a, you know, living quarters of somebody? It's too demeaning a thing. Mm-hmm. At the most, he can call us there to his room. This uncle is simply saying something, Ma, I don't think Swami will come. And twice he came.
Wow.
And he told my father, because you're practicing Kriya Yoga without a guru, the Jataragni has burnt your organs.
Oh.
Yes. And every 2 days he came, you know, and he did this to my father's stomach area and just made him all right.
Wow.
Brought him back from the hospital. Kutumrawji sent him to the hospital. Said, who told you to send him there? And then he came and saw and he did this and said, no need to continue with any practices. I am there to take care of you. This promise he gave. And that was a wonderful experience.
During the demolition period, there used to be sessions in the now refurbished Kalyana Mandapam. It was a little smaller at that time. And both the students and the elders and the devotees will be allowed to sit there and be with Swami. This is one such occasion where I had the most embarrassing moment in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you. After the bhajan and all that, whatever is it, Swami looked at one of the elderly devotee and he said, Narasimhan, no, when did you last see a movie? So he stood up with all reverence and he said, I'm not very sure, Swami, but about 18 years ago I saw one. 18 years ago, okay, what movie was that? Some Bhakta Prahalada, whatever it is, he said. Then, Bhaito. Then he looked at Topiwala, when did you last see a movie? Swami, 20 saal pehle, 20 years ago. What did you see? Some Shakuntala or something, he said. Fine. Now I am shivering in my pajamas here. Swami, please don't ask me that question. And I will never see a movie again. That's a pleasure.
But today you just let me go.
Let me. Because my son is sitting in the group. All the people who I know are sitting. Said, please spare me the trouble. Then the tsunami went quiet. Nothing happened. Swami didn't ask me that question. And I said, okay, now that's the end of my movie-going days. I will not see him. After 10 minutes, for no reason at all, Swami looked at me, Vimalu, no, eppudu chusaru.
Oh, my God.
Now what do I do? I just stood up. I didn't answer him. Cheppu, I'm asking you and you must answer. Tell me, when did you last see? I didn't answer. Cheppu. Then I said, okay, Swami, 1 week ago.
They're saying 20 years, 18 years.
Oh, all the boys are giggling behind.
They were an uproarious laughter, they boys. And they knew and they were teasing my son and everything. Okay, then what movie did you see? And for the next few minutes, I never answered him what he asked. Then he got a little well. Tell me, what did you see? I said, I saw Enter the Dragon. He looked at the boys and the boys didn't know. They were just rolling around.
He had entered the dragon.
I said, what movie is that? He said, Swami, the boys are replying. No, I am now out of the picture between boys and Swami. I said, what movie is that? He said, that's a karate movie, Swami.
Marshall.
Karate, are they anti? Ha, ho. Ayyo, shigil.
Even boys have to be very careful when they answer. How did you know him?
So, that's what he did. So, totally embarrassing moment. And my son wouldn't look at me for the next week.
But I think, you know, you are so honest. When he asked finally, you are so honest. And I think Swami was communicating in a very light-hearted manner what he wanted.
It was a very humorous situation. But
no,
most
the disparity was so evident. Everybody 15 years, 20 years, and our friend is saying 1 week ago.
So after that, you never had the courage to watch one more movie.
No. So Swami does all kinds of things. It's beautiful. Now, there is another incident. This happened quite some time earlier. In 1980 itself, you tell your dream?
Swami comes in the dream and he says, when a certain star falls on a certain date, on that day, I will give him an assignment. So, see, there is a 100 years calendar also, and some people whom I know have that. So I just mentioned that, Panchangam we call it,
yes.
And they said, we'll find out. Then he came and told me some 1.5 years or 2 years later it come. I lost interest. I said, so long, no, that can't be true, it's just a dream. So I forgot, but that person had written it down. So by the time we are in desperation, he's taking us for interview, but he will not talk about the job. He will say all sorts of things, but nothing was happening. So it went on like that, and finally when he broached the subject, then this person told me, remember, I said, yeah, but then I forgot. He said, no, I've written it down.
Mm-hmm.
When Swami actually spoke to him about it, he didn't say, this is the job I'm offering. He just spoke about it, this has to be done. It was not on that. I said, this is 5 days earlier. But he didn't. He said, I have to wait for her to come. There's some delay in her visit.
That evening he is going to tell me,
yeah.
Which will be 5 days before the dream date.
Mm.
So we said, okay, whatever it is, we are getting the job. It's okay. But then it didn't happen that evening. Swami, during the darshan, he said, no, Rajmata has postponed her trip.
Mm.
When she comes, we'll talk about it. He also didn't say what's going to happen. Then 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, on the 5th day, Rajmata came.
It was the same
Swami
day.
Called to his bungalow and said, this is my engineer who will take care of the construction. And then we were very happy. And when we went back and checked the almanac, we found it was exactly,
same. And,
wow.
And the beauty is, this dream was 2 years ahead of the...
Wow. Before the actual thing happened itself.
Wow. More and more you get convinced that everything is orchestrated by him.
Yeah.
No, that happened to her. She had written down in a piece of paper all that Swami has done to her.
See, I was so young at that time. So I wrote it down. I said, Swami, all this you have done for us. Mm. Thank you so much. Pichi. Only this I am doing everything for you all, he said.
Oh, wow.
Which is
okay.
A universal statement. That's what he does to everybody, And
only there are few occasions when it becomes obvious for us, apparent for us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything he's only doing. Once you say yes to him.
No, it's like for everybody in the universe, God only does.
Of course.
We are not aware of it. We are very lucky that we know Swami. So we know it's God who does. We don't exist. That is the truth.
Yes.
It's a beautiful experience.
But that is really very significant. You making a list of everything he's done and he's saying really this much.
And everything that Swami does has compassion, love and kindness behind it.
Yes.
I'll enumerate one instance. This is after the Tri Brindavan inauguration. And Tri Brindavan was decorated beautifully. The interior decoration was posh. Everything was posh. Once he called us for an interview, along with Justice Damodar Rao, who was a very famous advocate in Chennai, and who happens to be the father of Narendra.
Professor Narendra.
Professor Narendra,
principal
who was
the
principal of Whitefield. And we knew him personally. We used to go together. So Swami called us all for interview. And before we entered the interview room, he said, not that. It's a small room, so you go to the opposite room, which is bigger. He didn't say anything else. So we walked in, and that's a VIP guest room. Everything was posh and beautiful, and settee and sofa and everything there. So we went there, and in front of Swami's chair, there's a plush carpet. We all sat down on the carpet, on the floor. Swami came after a few minutes, and he pretended to be surprised. He said, why are you all sitting on the floor? Why do I have this sofa and all that? Go, get up and sit there. He said, no, Swami, we are quite comfortable. No, sit on the sofa. We didn't budge. And he said, okay, if that is the case, I am not giving interview.
He walked off.
He turned and he walked.
Oh, he was walking back.
And then one of the young ones went and then pleaded, no, Swami, we'll all sit. Then slowly we all sat on the sofa. And most importantly, Justice Damodar Rao Garu could sit on the sofa. And then Swami came, sat in his chair and talked to us. The interview went on for some time. And by the time the interview got over, all of us have slid back to the
carpet,
excepting Justice Damodar Rao.
Oh, okay, wow.
Now, this is where I am trying to tell you the kindness, the love and the compassion. Swami didn't want Justice Damodar Rao to sit on the floor. He had to make him sit on the...
Yes.
interview room didn't have any. He could easily put a chair.
He
but
will
then
feel uncomfortable to alone sit.
And yeah. he'll feel embarrassed and all. So he made the whole drama.
Wow.
Just for that one person.
Finally, everything was achieved.
Everything
you
was.
You wanted to sit down and you were feeling uncomfortable to sit
very
at the same level as Bhagwan. But just Damodar Rao as a senior person needed to sit on the sofa.
Afterwards, we're thinking of all that. Swami has already thought of the whole thing and we are only seeing one portion of it.
Yes. Wow.
See, I will not be too far away from truth if I say Vrindavan with Swami in Vrindavan is equal to Vrindavan with Krishna during the Dwapara Yuga.
Yes.
It was verily the Vrindavan of Krishna's time. Because Swami used to play pranks also. He would do anything. And he was so relaxed and comfortable. And we can get to see him more often than the scheduled timing in Puttaparthi. He has to come out of his mandir for us to see. There it's nothing. He just walks from one place to another, we'll see him. And then he comes and feeds the deers, we see him. Every other time. Now, there is one lady, she's the engineer's wife. She is a gregarious person. And Swami, when he comes out and gives darshan inside the Tri Vrindavan complex, he will ask the ladies and men to come and take Padamaskaram. There may be about 6 or 7 ladies inside, they'll take Padamaskar. Now, this lady will go quickly take Padamaskar, first one to take Padamaskar. And then when the others are taking Padamaskar, she'll slowly go around Swami.
Go around Swami.
Circumambulate. Swami was her concern. Padamaskaram is not that much of a concern. So she went first so that she'll get more time to go around. Now, we knew the joke going on and we used to have really laugh. Swami also knows. So next time what he played the prank is, as she is approaching, he is going back and back and back until a wall is...
He's going to stand against the wall. Yeah.
So she cannot do this prediction.
She can take Padamaskaram, but she can't go around. And this lady has a habit. She says, I am very angry. If I am angry, I'll go home and make potato curry and then eat.
She told Swami.
No.
He'll
She's
tell
telling
her.
Us not to Swami.
Swami has done this today to me. I'm very angry with Swami. I'll go home, fry potato and eat. Okay, go ahead. So Swami used to play pranks.
Wow. Auntie, you have also seen Swami feeding the deer, feeding the monkeys there.
Not only that, he will be angry with the deer also someday.
Oh,
he just will not. They will leave everything and come near that barbed wire and they'll. It was a sight for gods, I tell you. The moment he comes out of Trai, they'll all come and they'll be looking at him. And there'll be certain days when he just will not look at them.
So he was practicing that tough love with them also.
Yes. It was so obvious.
Even Sai Geeta went into doggos many times.
Suddenly, I don't know what is it, but he will not acknowledge them. And we, those who live inside the ashram, there's a small wall. That only our heads will be seen. So when Swami goes out for darshan, we'll be there near that wall and we are so intently watching Swami. These monkeys, they are angry because we are not seeing them or I don't know what. They'll come and just slap all of us and then only we'll realize these are doing this to us.
He'll keep on slapping each one of them and then... They were oblivious to all that. They were lost in Swami.
Hey, what means monkeys doing this?
Then each one shrieking, hey, monkey.
Oh my God. And Swami used to feed the monkeys, I heard.
Yes. Once he asked a boy to go and get some peanuts. There were no peanuts in the kitchen. Normally there is because for Swami they make chutneys and all, but it was not there. So he found only 6 pieces of peanuts. He said, only this is there, Swami. That's enough, he said. And he took it. As he took it, 6 monkeys came. And they are sitting in a line there. And when Swami...
You're watching this, sitting in a line, 6 monkeys.
Yes. Even in Parthi, I've seen sand days. The moment Swami comes out, they'll sit like this and keep watching Swami. So there they did that. And each one came to Swami and took 1 peanut and went.
From Bhagwan's palm.
Yeah.
Just one. A monkey,
see, a monkey
taking
will
one.
Just grab and go.
Absolutely. Even a man won't do that.
It was an amazing sight.
Wow. It's like how our monkey minds become disciplined in the presence of the divine.
Correct.
The monkeys got disciplined. Because
that is the lesson, I think, for human beings. Even they are disciplined in front of Swami. They don't show
each
them.
One took one, and there were six. And
yes, six monkeys came. Wow, amazing things we have seen there.
Wow.
And you have seen the tulsi plant in front of Trai Brindavan?
Yes, I think there is a tulsi plant before Swami comes out, inside the Trai compound.
Yeah.
A little away, after the pathway.
Yes.
So there is a story on that also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those days, Swami used to send me to attend to some personal family matter every week.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll give me instruction and send me, you do this, you meet that, and all that. Okay. One evening, the bhajan is going on, the Trai session is going on. It's time for me to catch the train. So he said, Vimalu, come here. And then he walks out of Trai Brindavan. And the bhajan is going on there. So I also follow him. And he walks straight to the tulsi plant. And then gives me instruction as to what I should do. So I'm kneeling down and seeing, hearing what Swami is saying. And Swami is telling me what to do. As he was talking, he had plucked the tulsi leaves. A few of them in his hand. And he was toying with those leaves. And then after the instructions were over, he gave me two. And he said, now you go and attend to your business. So I was very happy that I got the tulsi leaf. And I put it in my mouth and ate it off. I knew only this portion of the event. After that,
I don't know that this has happened outside. So when he came inside, he brought the tulsi leaf. He converted it into gold leaf. And he said, anybody wants.
Ratanlal
everybody,
So there were two leaves that he gave you and which you ate.
Yeah,
there were a few more leaves.
Few more leaves which he brought inside, then made it into gold. And then he just took it, again converted it into leaves and he ate it up.
So this green to gold, gold to green.
Yeah.
To him it matters
and
nothing.
And everybody was just watching. And when gold, everyone is attracted to it, no? Who will he give it to? Will be the next thought. He didn't give it to anybody.
I was so happy that it happened with the leaves that Swami had plucked and then given to me. Even today when I see that plant, I remember that what happened.
Wow. I think as you mentioned, you know, it was that Vrindavan. Krishna was just playful. Sai Krishna was just let his hair down and...
Very true. Right?
He'll be very normal. Inside the ashram, he'll take a walk.
Yes.
That is when all these things will happen, that lady wanting to go around him and all that. And he'll be so casual, he'll have something in his hand. He'll be wondering what is it and who is he going to give it to. There was a very short Dr. Sarojamma, a Kannada doctor.
Advanced in age.
And smaller than Swami. And she had only this much hair.
That
she'll put one rubber band and Swami will say, Sarojamma, come. Then he said, turn. Suddenly he'll take flowers and put it on her. It was such a sight for her.
Swami himself,
Wow. was putting the flowers for, and he's brought it from inside.
Wow.
Wonderful things used to happen.
I mean, he was very close and intimate with the devotee there.
Just like you do different things with Gopikas, with the Gopalas.
Yes, yes.
I think that is how
Vrindavan
was.
At the same time,
And Swami aptly named it Vrindavanam for the ashram. Wow.
And we are so happy that we got this opportunity to share it with you.
Wow.
No, because these are lighter moments.
Yes, but they shed so much light.
I know.
About his divinity. Because there is no moment with Bhagwan without a deep lesson. Isn't it now when you reflect?
Thing has a deep lesson if we are conscious enough to understand it.
And as you reflect on these moments, even as they fill you with joy, even as you relive those ecstasy of being with Swami, at the same time, you constantly become present to the profound lessons that he was teaching, isn't it?
I'll share one thing with you. Somebody asked, a long time devotee with Swami, what is the greatest miracle you have seen Swami perform? The long time devotee said, Swami pretending to be a human being. That is the biggest miracle.
Yes.
Isn't that so?
Yes, absolutely.
And that man. Then somebody asked, what mantra does he teach you? What does he teach you? He said, Swami, my guru, doesn't teach me anything. So this man was aghast. How can you have a guru who doesn't teach you anything? He said, no, he transforms me.
Wow.
Now, isn't it true that every single devotee of Sai will acknowledge the truth that he is transformed by Swami from the moment Swami came in his life?
I think absolutely.
Whichever way, and the quantum is not important and how much, in, but he gets transformed. There is not a single devotee who says, no, 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 nothing happened to me in life.
There is always a life before Swami entered into your life and after Bhagwan is a part of you.
And it happens slowly without any hullabullah.
Yes.
And beautiful transformation takes place.
Yes. Definitely there is more peace.
Inner peace.
Yes.
Like sort of clarity of thinking comes.
Yes.
We don't do anything impulsively.
Yes.
That is there.
And then we learnt a lesson from Swami, maybe a little later in life, that when you enter, or whenever he communicates with you, when you enter the room, let's say interview room, if you ask him, Swami, can I do this or can I do that? He will say, Bangaru, do whatever you want. He will reflect what you wanted to do. But if you have enough understanding, you keep quiet until he tells something.
Correct.
Then that is the voice of God.
Hmm.
For instance, let's say you want to travel to USA. That is your wish. He'll say, Swami, can I go to USA? Sure, tapakunda. Go. But whether it is good for you or bad for you, we wouldn't know. But you go. But supposing you enter the room and Swami says, you go to USA. He volunteers to tell that.
Yes.
Then that is the voice of God and that's the command also.
Absolutely. I think it's very important for us to be blank in front of Him.
And learn to listen to the voice of God in the noise of our daily activity.
This is true when you are with Bhagwan physically in the interview room, that you know you don't flood your mind with your thoughts and your interests, and so that you keep it empty so that he can fill it, so that whatever he says you accept it unconditionally. And it's true later on in our lives also. I think if we want to listen to the voice of God, then we have to become silent within.
Very silent.
We have to become very
silent. Deep
silence
is required.
Yes.
But sometimes, you know, if you don't ask properly and you have not heard your instructions properly, you will go and do something and then they'll catch you on that. So I used to be very particular when every time he has dealt with our problems, he'll call inside and he'll tell what to do. So that particular time, I had to be operated on or something like that. And he was saying, no need for that. Don't go back to that hospital. You go to Lucknow. We were in Lucknow at that time. Now, I'm so busy, I want to know whether I should go to Chennai, visit my parents and then go, or straight away go to Lucknow. By the time he has materialized something and given me. And me, so intent on knowing what I should do, I shouldn't make a mistake. I didn't see what he gave. I just held it in my hand. Swami just looked at me and he said, just see what I have given. Oh, very nice, Swami. Again, I'm talking.
She didn't pay attention to what he gave. So for the first time, Swami forgot. Otherwise, he will say, look, when the creator is here, they are going after the creation.
Yes.
Yeah. This time,
because I didn't want to be, he'll catch us on your, he'll say, you did it on your own. He'll just wash off his hands.
Mm.
So I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to know exactly what I have to do. So that happened that time.
No.
Most of the time we misquote Swami. Swami told me to do. No, he didn't tell you to do
it. I think as you said, he's only reflecting us.
You should go blank when you're there. If you're with thoughts that
he... But if he wants to transmit something, some news to you, he will do it directly.
Yes.
Aisa karo, vaisa karo.
Yes.
Then it's a command.
Yes. For that, we have to become empty. We have to become silent. And we have to see, are we completely in tune with him?
No, that comes out of acceptance.
Acceptance.
Whatever, whether you want it or you don't, then all that recedes into the background.
Correct.
There's nothing like you want something or you don't want something. You just
witness. That's why when
witness.
We are practicing, that when we go to Sannidhi for darshan, keep your mind as blank as you can.
Yes.
Don't ask for this, that and the other. It will come your way, which either way.
No, Swami, several times he said, you're too agitated for me to come near you. If you're steeped in your problems, he won't come near. So you should be blank there, waiting for his grace. Then he'll take you inside and tell you what to do. But it takes a long time to understand that.
Yes, absolutely.
Whatever it is, life is beautiful.
Yes. With Swami, life is always beautiful. And once you are with him in a spirit of absolute obedience and unconditional acceptance, then the beauty reaches a completely new level. And every day you discover new joys and new superlative vistas of His miracles, actually.
Yeah. Swami says, no, in the beginning I'll give you everything, whatever you want.
Yes.
Then you have to accept what I give.
Yes.
That statement He makes, so yes, we should do it. Good or bad, that's our mind telling.
Absolutely.
Just accept anything that comes your way.
And I think from your life you know that once you are on this path, He will take care.
Yes.
And He will fill you with joy. There is no happiness that He cannot grant.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is nothing of the world that you will actually miss. Because whatever happiness that you have to experience, He knows how to give you, and He will give it to you in full. So there is nothing that you are going to miss. It is not a sacrifice. It is actually the best investment. Actually,
of
that
course
you can make to reap a harvest of happiness and joy for eternity.
He is the best thing that has happened to all of us.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is really always very enlightening when we talk about Him. And some of the moments that you have spent are directions for so many of us who are on the spiritual path. Not many have had that opportunity to physically interact with Bhagwan, to see Him. You know, we had the chance to see Him. You had the chance to come to Him way back in the 60s and 70s. So whatever you have shared, these are those precious nuggets of wisdom which will become lighthouses and pathfinders for so many on the spiritual path. Thank you so much.
We offer a humble pranams at the lotus feet of Swami.
Sanam.
Thank you, Vishu.
So that was Mr. and Mrs. M.D. Vimalanathan. Mr. Vimalanathan was very blessed to come to Bhagwan in the 70s. He had the opportunity to be part of so many projects, starting with the construction of Trey Vrindavan in 1984. We are going to record more conversations with him because he has beautiful memories of being part of many constructions inside the ashram during the 80s, during the 90s. And these are stories that we have to preserve for posterity. Really grateful to Bhagwan that he sent Mr. Vimalanathan and Auntie Prema Vimalanathan to the studios. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We would love to read your comments and your feedback on this program on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. We want to continue this series on Vrindavan a few more weeks, even as we do now more videos. We have started a video series, Vrindavan Diaries, on our website, on our YouTube channel. You can watch the first video with Dr. C. N. Sundaresan. There are more coming up. So there is so much of Vrindavan bliss to soak in the coming weeks from the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much. Sairam.